Greetings in the name of the Lord. Over this long period of time, we are studying together from the prison epistles of Paul. These epistles would be Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and Philemon. And I remind you again, as we begin our study for today, that these prison epistles are a part of the entire Word of God, even though we have chosen to speak and to study them together. Nevertheless, they're part of the Word of God. And you need every part of the Word of God. In human terms, we can only study one part at a time. But we do compare Scripture with Scripture because everything in the Bible is from God Himself. None of it is from men. God, by His Holy Spirit, inspired men to write. Paul in Timothy speaks of this. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. And then he talks about how it's profitable. And so every part of the Bible is the Word of God. We're not to consider any part of it as simply the words of men or the opinions of Paul or others. And so as we're studying these four books, we're trying to discover what is the teaching of these books and how does the teaching of these books add to our knowledge of God's plans and purposes, God's plan for the present and for the future. And so, as we've been studying, we finished the book of Ephesians, and now we're in the book of Philippians. And today, I want to begin with chapter 3 of Philippians. Chapter 3 of Philippians, and I want to begin with verse 1. So follow with me in your Bibles, if you have your Bibles handy. Verse 1 of Philippians chapter 3. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me, is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I the more. I was circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin. I was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. As touching the law, I was a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, I persecuted the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung or refuge, that I may win Christ, and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know Him, and the power of His resurrection, and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. I want to take this passage with you in this lesson. A very important doctrinal passage concerning salvation. First of all, we notice that the Apostle Paul is warning them of false teachers. And I want to say again, and I think I've said this before in this study that we're presently doing from the prison epistles, there are many false teachers in the world today. And many of these are knocking on your doors. Many of you have had this experience of having somebody at the door, usually coming by twos, because they don't trust one to come alone, coming by twos and offering you some books that their founders have written, which claim to be the Word of God. And these, of course, are false teachers. We call them the cults. And I think you're familiar with the names of some of these cults. And they teach various things. Some of them deny practically all of the faith. They deny who Jesus is. They deny what He has done. They're trying to substitute other things in place of the Lord Jesus Himself. Other people claim that they're following the Lord Jesus, but they have added to the teaching of the Word of God some false teaching. In other words, it's a false salvation they're offering you. For instance, a person might say, well, you're saved by grace, but if you don't keep the law of Moses, then you come under the curse of the law. Now, this, of course, is false teaching. If you study the book of Romans, beginning with chapter 3, verse 19, down to the end of chapter 7, if you study the book of Galatians, if you study even the first three chapters of the book of Ephesians, you find that New Testament Christians, we Christians, are not under the law of Moses. Rather, now we are taught and led by the Spirit of God. Of course, God has standards, but it is false teaching to say that I am saved by grace, but I am kept by works. I am kept by the works of the law, in other words. So in this case, Paul is speaking of people who are still teaching the law as a means of salvation or as a means of keeping your salvation. This is the way he begins chapter 3. He speaks those of the concision, he calls them. And I want to speak very respectfully of those who hold this view. But they need to understand that God's salvation is by grace through faith. Even in the Old Testament, in those times when people were following the law of Moses, they still had the sacrificial system. Because the law of Moses could not take away sin. It simply was a means of knowing how sinful they really were. The book of Galatians teaches it like this. By the knowledge of the law, in fact, Romans does as well. By the knowledge of the law, we're made aware of our hopeless, lost, sinful condition. The fact that even though we try to keep it perfectly, we are not perfect. And in fact, Paul said this in chapter 3 of this book of Philippians. And you come down to verse 6, Paul says, as touching the righteousness under the law, I was blameless. In other words, I faithfully tried to keep every tiny little point of the law. There was no point that I thought I broke. However, he was still a hopeless lost sinner before God. Romans chapter 3, verse 9 says the same thing. After it speaks of these three kinds of people, and I've mentioned these before, but just think of it for a moment with me. He speaks of three kinds of people: the very, very extremely bad person, the self-righteous Gentile, and the faithful Jew. And so he speaks of these three people, and he says, we have before concluded they are all under sin. Now, Paul had to come to this realization. This is a teaching now we're getting into as we come down, because he had heard all his life that the law was a means of salvation, of gaining it and of keeping it, and that by following the law, he could go to heaven. And Nicodemus had thought the same thing when he came to Jesus in John chapter 3. He felt the same thing. And yet later in his life, apparently Nicodemus came to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus. And even in John chapter 20, or John chapter 19 rather, the end of the chapter, he helped bury the Lord Jesus with the other man who buried him. And so the Apostle Paul says that there came a time when he had trusted in everything that these teachers had been teaching him. But then he came to realize the truth concerning the Lord Jesus. So in this passage, verses 4 to 6, he first of all presents his own background. If background could bring a man to heaven, if keeping the law could bring a man to heaven, then Paul deserved to go there. He was a pure Jewish man. He had perfectly kept the law, blameless, he says. However, he presents how in being saved, he had had to put aside everything he had ever depended upon for a relationship with God. Now, he uses some words that we may not like. He speaks of this as garbage. Now, literally, the law is not garbage. But what Paul is saying is, compared to the grace of God, these other things were worthless. I realized my background, even my keeping of the law, was of no value whatsoever to me. So I had to put them away as though they were refuse, or garbage, as the case might be. In other words, I had to treat them and completely reject them as a means of coming into relationship with God. And so the Apostle Paul had to completely change. And this brings us down, of course, to verses 7 and 9. And in verses 7 to 9 of chapter 3, he is now dealing with the means of his salvation. He had had to put aside everything else, and this is necessary. Every other means you might be using to take you to heaven, you have to put aside, because it's not the means that God will accept. Some of you may feel, and I respect this, that you're living good lives and God will surely let you into heaven. You're wrong, of course, because as a lost sinner, you must have a Savior or you cannot go to heaven. And there's no one else who can save you except the Lord Jesus. And so here he is presenting that he needed the righteousness of God. He had the righteousness he had on a human level, but it was not the righteousness that God would recognize or accept. So he had to put that aside, and he had to come to the person who could save him. And let's emphasize this again and again. There is only one means of salvation. Once I realize that I am a lost sinner, once I realize that I cannot go to heaven by my own good works, and in fact none of my good works will qualify me or give me merit in going to heaven. But once I realize this, I must do the right thing in order to be saved from my sins. And some people who are very religious, and I respect you if you're one of these, they'll go to church. They believe the church will help them go to heaven. They may pray to somebody else, to the mother of Jesus or somebody like that, believing that somehow she can help you go to heaven. They may take some of the ordinances, we call them in our churches, as sacraments. You may call them in your church. They may take these and believe that somehow these will qualify them to go to heaven or help qualify them. There is no one or nothing else other than Jesus Himself who can save you from your sin. So he had to have righteousness through faith in the one who could save him from their sin. There's only one Savior, and Jesus emphasized this truth in a number of passages, but in John 14:6, he emphasizes it with these words, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." So if you're depending today, first of all, upon your good works to help you go to heaven, you're still lost in your sins. You do not have a Savior. Or if you say, "Well, I believe in Jesus. I'm trusting in Jesus. But besides Jesus, the law is going to help me go to heaven. And as I am kept through the law, I avoid the curse of God by keeping the law." Or if you're depending upon your church, upon the ordinances of your church, the sacraments as the case might be, or if you're praying to anybody else to help you go to heaven, then you're still lost in your sin. Because exclusively, Jesus is the only Savior of the world. He's the only means of salvation. And so the Apostle Paul came to the one who could save him from his sins. He realized the truth that nothing in his background was helping him go to heaven. In other words, God had to meet him in Acts chapter 9 on that road to Damascus, and God had to deal with him and then save him from his sins. And in the Lord Jesus Christ, he found salvation. What a wonderful, wonderful truth this is. And now he's depending wholly and completely on him. He's living completely for him, but first of all, he's depending upon him. And this was my own experience, and this is the experience of millions and millions of others who have found Jesus as their Savior. My own experience was that I was baptized when I was 10 years of age. I was told I was okay, be a good boy, come to church, here's a Bible. And I thought everything was settled, and it wasn't, because in my heart I had absolutely nothing. No relationship with God, no forgiveness of sins, nothing. So when I was 14, I had to realize I still needed Jesus in my heart. I had to put aside my church membership, all this idea of being a good boy. I had to put aside religion, because I was very, very faithful as a young man. I had to put aside everything and come to the Lord Jesus and let him know that I confessed my sins before him and I was depending upon him to forgive my sins by his precious blood. And these, of course, are the steps that you're going to have to take in your own life. First of all, putting aside and then putting on. Putting aside everything you've ever depended upon. Recognizing it is not Jesus plus anyone or anything else. It is Jesus alone who is a Savior from sin. And once you have put these aside, then you come, so to speak, to the foot of the cross. You confess your sins to the Lord, your need before Him, and you trust the Lord Jesus as your Savior from sin. So if you were to study verses 7 to 9, this is the testimony of the Apostle Paul. Now he knows him. To know him and the righteousness which comes of God by him. So this is the teaching now of this chapter, chapter 3, verses 1 to 9. Now I want to just introduce, beginning with verse 10, I just want to introduce the next section to you, and then we're going to have to stop. Now, the next thing we notice, beginning with verse 10, in his salvation, he had to have certain priorities. And our priorities are very, very important. First of all, he had to know Jesus as a Savior. So that is the first knowing. he had to have in his life. I have to know him as my Savior, to know him and the righteousness which comes of God by him. So he could not have anything else before God unless he knew him. So even if he were very zealous for God, but were unsaved, it would be of no value whatsoever to him. He had to know the Lord Jesus as his Savior. But once I know him, then I come to the realization I have a purpose in life. I'm to have priorities in life. In other words, the Lord Jesus now has not only saved me from my sin, but he's my highest priority in life. This goes back to chapter 1, verses 20 and 21. It goes back to 2 Corinthians 5, verses 14 to 15. Then my life is to be devoted to him. He is to be the one I exalt, the one I praise, the one I thank, the one I follow with all my heart. Jesus himself said, "If any man will come after me," Luke 9, verse 23, "if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." In other words, the emphasis was to be upon the Lord Jesus himself. Now, I'm going to have to stop right here, but I'm going to be picking up this idea in the next passage as we study in the next lesson. It's my prayer, if you do not really know that you are saved from your sins, or if you're depending upon too many other things to help you win your salvation, even if you include Jesus in those things, if you're depending upon other things as well, you need to realize it is Jesus alone who will take you to heaven. So when you die, if you don't have Jesus in your heart, no one else, nothing else will be of any value to you. May the Lord help you, first of all, to be truly saved. And if you are saved, love him with all your heart. May the Lord bless you, each one.